Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Finally, draft week and smokescreen season has us second-guessing every single move. Thank you so much for tuning into another edition of another Dolphins podcast. We have Houts, we have Kat, and in today's show, we are revealing the script Miami should be following in the first two rounds of the NFL draft. Before we dive in, Zach Wilson has been traded. Half the league says Byron Murphy is a top 10 pick, while the other half believes he'll be available late in the first. Boys, it's the Wild West out here. Are you reading anything that has your eyes popping out like you're on the set of Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
No, I mean, looking at really the first 16 picks of the draft, I mean, you've got, obviously the Bears are taking Caleb Williams. The Commanders are going with a quarterback, probably Jaden Daniels. You know, the Patriots' top need is a quarterback. The Giants' top need is a quarterback. Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, Seahawks, all top needs are quarterbacks. So, you know, if it's going to be interesting to see how many quarterbacks get taken here in the first, 16 picks of the draft.
Joshua Houts, I got to ask you, I have a ticket here that has, I've selected under 4.5 quarterbacks taken in the first round. Is that going to bust? Are there going to be 5 drafted? Is Michael Penix going to jump in there and be that fifth, you think?
Yeah, I think that's going to bust. Yeah, sorry, man. maybe even Bo Nix. I mean, there's all it takes is one team thinking that this guy could be a starter, So, yeah, I don't know if I like your odds there, but I actually had to look it up. When you guys said Zach Wilson was traded, I mean, I have 3 kids, so I'm a little bit out there. But I just looked it up and saw he got traded. I was like, oh, shit, I had no idea. So those are perfect for those new Denver Bronco uniforms, I guess. But, dude, lots of smoke and mirrors, and that's what we always got to remember this time of the year, right? All these reports, we all want to believe that the Dolphins have interest in our favorite prospect, but what we need to remember at all times is teams want us to hear these things that are out there, right? There's reason that we're hearing these things, so take everything with a grain of salt. But I just love draft season. I love being able to come on here and talk about what the Miami Dolphins might do with you guys.
Kat, you're knee-deep in draft content year-round. People sometimes forget, because Mike Tannenbaum was involved and the Dolphins have had a handful of different coaches since then. Chris Greer's been with this team since 2016. How important is it for us to remember that and maybe not take for granted when we're hearing that all of a sudden the Dolphins are eyeballing a wide receiver at pick number 21 or all these different reports that seem to stem up the entire week of the draft? How important is it for us to keep in mind, like, hey, Chris Greer, it's not his first dance here, and he might be trying to lead us in a direction that we're not ready for.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Greer and the Dolphins have shown the willingness to be aggressive over the last few years, and they might do the same thing here this year. but also the Dolphins are picking 21st this year. And when you get down into pick 21, there's such a giant pool of players that are available. You know, if like, just going back to, like, for example, 2018, you know, with when Minka Fitzpatrick fell to pick 11, like, it was pretty obvious that a player like that was selected. You know, they, nothing crazy was going to happen. So really, when you get down to pick 21, it makes things really exciting, but also a little bit scary too, that it could be anybody.
Joshua,
I mean, there is some good and bad in that, though, right? You're going to get an elite player, but you don't really, or one of those upper echelon guys, but you don't really get a side on which guy falls to you. I'm sorry, what were you going to say, Jake? I was jumping all over you.
When you were waking up, getting the sleepies out of your eye this morning, who'd you see mocked the Dolphins, and how'd you feel about it?
Mocked? Well, I saw Albert Breer's report with Xavier Worthy, right? That was the big name that was out there, and I had to look it up because I know this guy absolutely blazed the combine, right? 4.21. I think we talked about him previously on this pod, and we've seen Mike McDaniel at the Texas Pro Day. So my first thing was, you know, teams are circling this. Are they actually hearing that, or are they just assuming that, you know, Mike McDaniel has an absolute addiction to speed and this guy is a that perfect representation of what speed can be. I just saw 6'1", 160 pounds soaking wet. And I'm like, I don't know if how does that sustain in the NFL? I mean, obviously there's playmakers that can do it. Maybe he's one of them, but yeah, I was definitely intrigued by that, but that's what Albert Breer's saying. So if you have an issue with that, go talk to him. Did you hear that, Kat? What are your thoughts on Xavier Worthy? Because I had to read this twice because it did not say anything about the first round pick, just to be clear. It said, so at 55, or, you know, in the second round, it's a little bit different than 21. 21's where I'm a little bit uneasy at.
So from what I heard, there were three players that he mentioned, Xavier Worthy, Jared Verse, and Graham Barton. And I've got to say, you know, given that it's smokescreen season, like Jake said, I would hope that it would be the opposite of those three players. And it's not that I don't like them, but I view Xavier Worthy as kind of overkill here at the receiver spot and for the team in general. You know, this is somebody who's 165 pounds and averaged barely 13 yards a catch at Texas. All right. You know, there's this myth that this is this guy who's been able to take the top off the defense at the college level. He hasn't, you know, and I know that he has the speed. And there are two or three plays in college where he has been able to just be blinding fast, and he ran the 4.21, fastest in NFL history at the combine. There's a lot of that, but you know, I think the Dolphins have a lot of other needs. And Jared Verse, fantastic player. And if the Dolphins were a 4.3 team looking for that defensive end, then I would like that too. But I would probably rather go a different route there too. Graham Barton is somebody that is lower on my list than a lot of other people too. And I've never quite understood it with him, where it's like he was a left tackle at Duke over the last 2 years. He's a good player, but you know, once you start talking about, you know, a top 20 player in the entire draft, I start to roll my eyes a little bit too. So that's a really good segue into who I have at the top of my draft boards.
It's been fun this draft season. And Josh, I think you took the cake here. We did our mock draft episode last week, and I've been trying harder to really engage with the audience we have at 560 WQAM. I see all those comments, so please, please, please keep sharing those. Joshua Houts, you posted our mock draft episode, and I don't think I'm overreacting when I say 100% of the population confirmed that your draft was the one to go to. How does that make you feel, knowing that everybody's ready to jump in your boat and send it into Chris Greer?
Not good at all, because that means if they draft any of these players, you know, they're going to blame me. I mean, I legitimately have people that to this day will like DM me at times, you know, blaming me for the Tua pick just because I liked him, and was, you know, on social media, kind of pounding the drum. So, yeah, I don't know how to feel about that, because, you know, at times I even admitted that I was trying to go a different direction. But I did see some people mention Cooper DeJean too. So we'll see what they do. But it's nice that we get to interact with them. And it was nice that they approved of my draft, because there were some picks I was a little unsure of.
Especially the punter, but I digress.
I liked he's older Josh's than you, Jay. Draft a lot too. I mean, And yeah, what you went with what Laiatu Latu in the first round and Ricky Pearsall in the second. That's yeah. solid there. I mean, I like that. And look, when I went back to back offensive linemen, I mean, I expected to get bashed for that. Who would find that attractive? But the other side for the listeners too, I'll tell you too, if the Dolphins don't go offensive line in the first two rounds or in the first round and Tua's getting pounded in December, don't look at me, look somewhere else.
Kat, you did an excellent job here, and I'm glad you brought up the Minkah Fitzpatrick drafts, because the point of today's show, our goal is to kind of paint a picture of what the draft board could look like when the Miami Dolphins are on the clock at pick 21. And the simplest way to approach something like this is to take your big board, and you can just cross out anybody that you know is already going to be drafted. You can really start to play the numbers game. So, Kat, you want to go through your list here? I think you have about 11 players that you're fairly confident just Miami shouldn't even think about.
Yeah, and look, anything can happen. We saw in 2016 the Laremy Tunsil situation. You know, I've seen Aaron Rodgers fall from pick 2 to pick 24 back in the 2005 draft. Anything can happen. But for argument's sake, I don't think it's discussion worthy to have any of these 11 players projected or part of the conversation here, 21. And so four quarterbacks, Caleb Williams from USC, Jaden Daniels from LSU, Drake May from North Carolina, J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, which I think is crazy that he's projected this high now, Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, the wide receiver Malik Nabers from LSU, wide receiver Roma Dunze from Washington, tight end Brock Bowers from Georgia, tackles Joe Alt from Notre Dame, and Olafishana from Penn State, and Dallas Turner from Alabama. Of those 11, I'd say that if one fell to the Dolphins, maybe it's worthy of conversation, but I see all 11 comfortably off the board at that point.
Josh, you willing to sign off on that?
Yeah, that seems about right. I did see, and I think it was NFL Network, and it's mock draft season, right? Everyone's throwing crap at this point. I mean, it was a 7-rounder. Reuters, I think, was the name, but he had Ali Fashanu going to the I think it was Reuters, going to the Dolphins, falling there. So, I mean, like you said, it's very unlikely that it happens, but any of those players, if they do fall into your lap, then you gotta you gotta make a decision. Even if, as crazy as it sounds, it's one of those quarterbacks that might fall into your lap, but that's not gonna happen. So calm down, Dolphin fans.
So it seemed like forever when the Dolphins were picking fifth or Tua. I mean, Josh, I remember sitting in the DMs with you. It just seemed like that night was going forever. But Kat, when are you gonna really start to get antsy? Come Thursday night, let's say there's 11 players off the board. Let's put the Dolphins at, we're at pick 16. Troy Fatanu, Quinion Mitchell, Amarius Mims, and Talese Fuaga are four guys you are considering trading up for. What would be your scenario where it's, you kind of get rid of reasoning in a sense. You kind of see them on the board, all logic goes out the window, and you think, all right, we have these two third-round compensatory picks. We have whatever we have this year, the two sixth-rounders. Shout out Dan Feeney. Where would Miami need to be, or what would that board have to look like, where you'd have to start calling up teams and be like, well, let's try to slide up two, three places to get this blue-chip type of player?
Yeah, and historically, in the 2016 draft, the Dolphins used that future third-round pick to move up to get Leonte Carew. In 2021, they used that third-rounder to move Tickenberg in the second round. Those aren't the best examples of the play, but it shows that Chris Greer is willing to do that. So when you start getting down to like picks 15 through 18, if you see the opportunity to trade a future third rounder, Troy Fatanu and Quinion Mitchell and Talese Fuaga are the three guys that probably aren't going to make it to that spot. Mm-hmm. Amarius Mims, I think, is more likely to, because he carries more of a risk. But, you know, Troy Fatanu is somebody that, you know, was expected and was really popularly mocked to go to the Dolphins at pick number 21 a couple of months ago. But then he had 34 and a half inch arms, longer than Joe Alt. So now left tackle and left guard ability. So there's that. And I expect him to be gone by the time the Dolphins pick. Quinion Mitchell is expected to be the first cornerback off the board. A king-sized cornerback on the outside that would allow the Dolphins to move Jalen Ramsey around if they decided to go defense. And Amarius Mims is somebody I'm willing to fall on the cross for, because even though he played only 8 games at Georgia, I think he has the body type to play guard immediately. Mm-hmm. And the long-term ability to obviously play the offensive tackle positions. You know, somebody who did not allow a sack at Georgia in his 8 games, did not have a holding penalty, did not have a false start penalty. Somebody who is uniquely polished for the tackle position. And Talese Fuago is somebody who started 1,500 plus snaps at the right tackle position at Oregon State. Very balanced, plays a little bit tall out of his stance, but I see no reason he wouldn't be able to be inserted at the right guard position right away. So those are my top 4 guys realistically projected to be in the Dolphins range of 21. Fautanu, Quinyon Mitchell, Amarius Mims, and Talese Fuaga. And then things get a little bit thinner after that.
Josh, is any of these guys popping out to you? I mean, there's one thing to kind of let the board fall to you, and I think I'm at a point where the Dolphins draft so late where we'll get into some guys who we think are going to be there. But Josh, are there any of these players that you're really seeing as that blue chip potential of, if we got to move up 3 spots, it might not seem like the world, but it's going to make a super difference to get one of these guys in there? I mean, I just think about the fact that Kat has 3 tackles here, and then Quinyon Mitchell, a cornerback. Something about that secondary speaks to me like they need a little more help there. And I think I'm starting to kind of warm up to a pick like that. I mean, obviously in the mock draft, I had Cooper DeJean. So, I mean, take it either way. DeJean, potato, potato.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another name that is really intriguing. I think if you want your offensive line to, you know, be solidified, which I continue to go back to, you know, we love the cornerback. I would love to have another piece there. I fell in love with Latu. I mean, I would love for the Dolphins to find a way to do that, but I still think in my heart of hearts, the Dolphins need that offensive lineman. And I see the things being said about how do you pronounce the name? I'm not Troy F. We're going to say.
So it was, everyone said Fautanu, and then it became Fautanu. So, because it's what happens is that at a certain point, like after you say the name for so long, and then you actually ask the player how you pronounce his name, and then he says it correctly. Now you have to readjust how you say it. So it's Fautanu.
Fautanu. So that's the whole H-hand thing, right? Or that's
it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, right.
So that's the thing. I think that to me is the first thing that really stands out as a guy that I might trade up for, because I believe he can play, you know, versatile as all hell. I think he can play inside this season, and then we can push him outside. I think that's a little bit of what Kat's been selling us on with Mims as well. So mm-hmm. I see those guys as 2 names to definitely trade up for. And then Quinyon Mitchell, I mean, he's a guy that we've been talking about since, I think, Combine or Senior Bowl week or something, since we've had Kat on. So that's an intriguing name for sure. And I know you don't have Latu on there. I think he's in your next tier, but he could be one of those guys that teams are targeting. I think even I've heard the Falcons may even be targeting him. So maybe he's a guy the Dolphins need to trade up for if, you know, Mike McDaniel really, really wants that edge player.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's a very important component to this to keep in mind, and it's the fact that the Dolphins don't have a third-round pick because they were tampering with Sean Payton and Tom Brady, and they don't have a fourth-round pick because they traded that in the Bradley Chubb deal. So it's kind of safe to assume, or at least I'm starting to lean, that the Dolphins are probably going to sit steady at pick 21 and see what if they can really let the board fall their way. So we have 11 players that we think are going to be completely gone. We have four guys that might be worth trading up for, but we kind of assume they'll be gone too. So that gives us 15. Let's throw three wild cards in. That gives us 18. Kat, then you also have a list of, let me see here, seven players who you'd embrace at pick 21. And this is the category I think we should spend the most time on, because I see three, four, seven names here, honestly, where I'd be willing to almost hang up, listen, and just ride into the night with one of these guys.
Yeah, and the thing about trading down from pick 21 is, what would you actually get if you traded from 21 down to 29, for example? You might get a pair of fourth round picks like the Seahawks got back in the 2019 draft when they traded down for LJ Collier, but you're going to get something like a third or a fourth round pick. So the question is, do you really want to do that? It's hard to tell, but right now I say, no, you probably want to stay at pick number 21. So these seven guys, I want to make very clear, there's very, very little for me separating any of these seven guys. I've said the four that I would trade up for, but number five on my list is Jackson Powers Johnson. And a lot of people have cooled on him over the last couple of months. I'm not one of them, because I keep going back to one thing. Center slash guard, 704 pass protection snaps, zero sacks in those 704 snaps, and four pressures. Okay. And you're talking about somebody who can fill one of two offensive line spots and keep a cleaner pocket for Tua. Then a guy I'm willing to pound on the table for, and that's Chop Robinson from Penn State. Somebody who, look, I think Laiatu Latu is the better overall defensive end. If you're the Bears at pick 9 or the Falcons at pick 8, I think Latu would be the better selection. But I'm going with Chop Robinson for this defense, because for the Dolphins to win, they have to beat the Bills. And they have to stop Josh Allen. For them to stop Josh Allen, they have to get to Josh Allen. And Chop Robinson is a 4.47 player off the edge from Penn State. I know he only had four sacks last year, but he had a very, very high pressure rate. I know Josh has seen a lot of him at Penn State. Very, very quick off the snap, and just elite closing ability, and can legitimately outrun Josh Allen in the open field. That's the most important thing for me. Then J.C. Latham from Alabama, the biggest, strongest player in the draft at 6'5", 342. And over the last 2 years, even at his size, had each of the last 2 years played over 800 snaps. And back in 2021, played right guard for 8 games too. So he has that positional versatility as well. Not the best fit in this scheme, but, you know, Robert Hunt wasn't either. Then you go to Byron Murphy, elite first step. And he also did it from the nose tackle position, which is insane. So you're looking for interior defensive line pressure. He's somebody you want to look at. And then Leatu Latu, we've talked about just over the last 2 years, 24 sacks and 34 tackles for loss the last 2 years. Not bad at all. Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver from LSU, 6'3", 210 pounds, runs a 4.34. And if you're looking really to have that supercharged Cedric Wilson option as your third or fourth guy on this offense to really take it over the top, this is the guy you want. 17 touchdowns last year on 68 catches. And then Terrion Arnold is at the bottom of this list, has kind of gravitated a little further to the bottom for me. I like Quinyon Mitchell a lot better than him. When I watched more of Terrion Arnold, I saw a player at the cornerback spot who got a little grabby down the field. And he runs a 4.5, not the 4.3s that I thought he would run. So those are the guys that I am really excited about at pick number 21, if they fall to that spot.
Joshua, I got to ask you here. We got someone like Jackson Powers Johnson, who I think you could draft, and all of a sudden you have a starter for 3-4 seasons. You have an edge rusher where I think we spent a couple of pods talking about Christian Wilkins, and you're not going to be able to match his production 90%+ of snaps. But Chop Robinson, that pressure rate, that kind of sounds like replacing Christian Wilkins in a sense, even though that volume might not be there. And then you have an absolute unicorn at wide receiver, someone like Brian Thomas, who could come in and just change the dynamics so much. So where do your eyes go when you hear those three options?
I mean, that's a tough one. I think I try to stand pat and still go with the offensive line, still try to solidify that. I mean, I know a lot of people are getting down on Jackson Powers Johnson, like Kat mentioned. I think today Marcus Mosher posts like consensus draft boards or whatever, what scouts are saying. And I think he and Graham Barton may have switched spots like 29 to 24 or something like that. But it just goes to show you that, you know, the recency bias or whatever, right? Because a couple months ago, we were sitting here talking about this guy as a for sure first round pick. He mentioned Chop Robinson. I've definitely seen him play up here. I think CK Parrott tweeted out, this is a guy kind of reminds me of Cameron Wake. So he's a guy I've been putting on the back burner because I knew what he could do throughout the year. But I still look at this list, man, and I still see Leatu Latu, and I just can't unsee that name right there.
Kat, in your expert opinion, if you want to talk strictly the Buffalo Bills and stopping Josh Allen, would you prefer seeing that pressure from the edge, someone like Robinson or Latu, or do you think someone like Byron Murphy, that idea that the Dolphins had that interior pressure before, was the right process and they just weren't getting that result just yet?
You know, when I look at Murphy, it's the first 2 seconds of the play that define what he does, because he's going to beat you off the snap quickly and he's going to get in the face of the quarterback. And if not, then he does not have Chop Robinson's ability to chase down Josh Allen in the open field. That's what separates Chop from me in this entire draft. Now, Chop has a lot more bust potential too. I mean, like he has been the clear-cut consensus fourth edge player for a reason, because, you know, he only had 4 sacks last year and 7 tackles for loss. But I also saw a guy with a very high pressure rate and caused a lot of havoc. And the best predictor for me for getting sacks in the NFL is the ability to pressure the quarterback consistently at the college level. So I like Chop Robinson just a little bit more than Byron Murphy, but I've got on this list Chop at 6, Murphy at 8, not much separating the two.
And Josh, as we run through these names, I mean, we've been ranting and raving about these guys for a few months. I mean, if the Dolphins were to try to trade down to pick 25 to 29, I mean, Kat hit on it earlier. What are you getting? A couple extra fourths, maybe an extra third next year? Like, Is there like an ick point for you when you hear stuff like that and you don't even want to try to rebuild some of that draft capital and like you just kind of want to take that guy? I mean, the Dolphins, I think, were penciled in. I wish I had it in front of me where they could have gotten Earl Thomas when he was drafted, and instead they traded back thinking they'll get their blue chip player just a few more picks down, and it just doesn't always work that way. Do you see an ick factor somewhere once they kind of start discussing trading down? Would you really get excited about 2 fourth round picks or a third round pick?
Yeah, I don't know that I would. I mean, it would really depend on, you know, what your intel tells you, right? I mean, if you're trading down and, you know, maybe two quarterbacks for, you know, heaven forbid, you know, if you luck into that and they go and then these guys fall right into your lap, that's a perfect scenario. But I just always go back to when the Dolphins traded down thinking I believe they wanted Cesar Ruiz. I don't have any sources, but it sounds like that was their guy. They ended up getting sniped and got stuck with no Igbinoghene. So that always burns into my brain. If you like a player and he's there, just take him. At this point, we all know the Dolphins are in win now mode. I feel the same way. If you know, we all want him to trade down and accumulate more picks because we all love doing our mock draft simulators, right? And having more picks to use and building this team. But if they have a guy that they want to trade up for, I'd be okay with that because we can sit here and say, we can all sit here and look in the mirror and be honest with ourselves, right? This window is now until I don't know how long. And Dolphins need to start winning now because, as we know, they haven't done it for a long time.
Kat, what would you need to see come across the table in a trade where you'd be willing, and I don't want you to, we'll go through your full list in a second here, but what would you be willing to kind of get in order to say and be happy, like, all right, let's have pick 29 or pick 33 and get Zach Frazier or Patrick Paul or Johnny Newton? What would you need to see that draft capital be from the other team?
Just looking at the last about 10 years, the one trade that would interest me is when the Commanders the Commanders traded from pick 46 up to 26. Mm-hmm. And they gave up a future second round pick and I think another late round pick as well. And they took Montez Sweat. It would have to be something like that, because otherwise you're looking at like a third or fourth round pick.
They aren't always the most impactful type players, and the Dolphins are at a point. I mean, Josh just said it. This window is open. We don't know how open. If we start to squint, it does look decently open for the Dolphins here. But you need to get someone who can walk into the field or walk into the locker room and have an instant impact. So that'll be something so important to keep in mind as we approach Thursday night. Kat, you have a list here, a monster list of 13 players, 12 to 13 players. I counted pretty fast. I'm sorry. Of guys who, if the Dolphins trade back, sign me up. Or if everything goes right, could be available at 55. So if you want to run through the full list, I'll let you do just that. Or if you just want to pick out a couple names, you're really starting to hammer down, I'd love to hear them.
Yeah, so the first four guys are players that I would be interested in trading up for slightly. And then the 5 through 11 list are players I would have been happy to take at 21. Then you've got guys, if the Dolphins were to trade down, I'd be interested in these guys. 12 on my list is Darius Robinson from Mizzou. You know, a guy that moved from defensive tackle to edge last year, 8.5 sacks, 14 tackles for loss, 6'5", 285. And I think he could be opposite Zach Sealer and be fantastic. You know, just a great athlete. And once he got the chance to move out to the edge, he played at a high level. Cooper DeJean is my next one. I view him as a big nickel or a safety. I know you're a big fan of him. Ran a 4.45 here at, you know, somebody who could really be inserted quickly. 14 would be Tyler Guyton, somebody that we talked about a while ago. Great athlete at the tackle spot, 6'8", has no business being able to get downfield and block the way that he does. Mm-hmm. But I see him more as a great fit in this type of offense. He's very tall, very lanky. The downside with him is that he's probably not going to be able to play guard for you because he doesn't have that. You know, he's a thin player. But long term, I think he could be a star in this type of offense. So 15, Kool-Aid McKinstry was targeted just 39 times this year, and a big reason why Terrion Arnold got so many interceptions here. And then you got Jared Verse at 16, Graham Barton at 17, and we've talked about them.
don't want to jump in your toes, Josh, but real quick, Kat, I mean, a lot of people are pretty high on Jared Verse. Would you mind just kind of going over real quick, like what you think his weaknesses and why you aren't, you know, just slam dunking him at pick number 21?
Yeah, I view Verse as a really good all-around defensive end and a power guy. And I feel like in a year, if the best thing happens where Jalen Phillips comes back week one and Bradley Chubb comes back after 6 weeks, both guys are under contract, you know, assuming Phillips gets extended, we're going to be talking about Jared Verse as the best edge player on the team. And we're not sure where to move him. You know, I don't, at 6'3", 250 pounds, I don't see him being a 3-4 end. And I'm not quite sure what to do with him at that point.
I think you put it best as, you know, he's all around and he's more of a power guy. That must be why when you watch a film, I don't want to say he didn't. I don't know. When you're watching Latu, it just jumps out. It just makes me feel a type of way, even a little bit with Dallas Turner. But I don't know that I certainly felt that exact same way with Verse. So I think he can come in for sure and, you know, fill a role and be depth on the defensive line. But like Kat said, once you get Jalen Phillips back, you're assuming Bradley Chubb isn't going anywhere. I mean, then where does he go? I mean, I guess you could say the same thing if you draft another edge rusher, but you got a Latu and things like that. It could be a little bit different than a Verse.
Verse kind of seems like the prospect the Dolphins wish they had in the Charles Harris draft. It's just like the ceiling might not be super incredible, but you have a day one starter who can kind of just walk in and you're comfortable with it. Looking at these names, I mean, Graham Barton's probably the one. I mean, Cooper DeJean too, where like those are two guys I'd consider at pick 21. But at the same time, I still think I like Jackson Powers Johnson more than Barton. Kat, would you like if you? I just have a hard time seeing a situation where the Dolphins would be willing to trade down and risk kind of getting into the area where one of these guys might still be there. So I want to ask you this instead. Which one of these guys would need to fall the farthest for you to start calling teams in the second round to start maybe trading back up a little bit using a third rounder next year or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I had in my mock draft Zach Frazier, the guy that, you know, if the Dolphins are able to go back-to-back offensive line or really go back-to-back with any of the players I've mentioned so far, I mean, I'm definitely down for doing that. You know, because I think it's important with fewer roster spots available that the Dolphins come away with two really good players. And so Zach Frazier is 18 on my list. I think he's a Creed Humphrey clone. Then after that, 19, Jordan Morgan. A little, you know, a career left tackle at Arizona, but really good lower body and somebody that I think can easily kick from left tackle to left guard. And then Nate Wiggins at 6'1", you know, runs a 4.28 40 and, you know, is somebody that might allow the Dolphins to move Jalen Ramsey inside to give him some more looks there.
Now, looking just kind of as this draft falls, and I think this is a problem both Josh and I fell into, what the Dolphins do in the first round, does it feels like there's a way they could kind of get stuck in a box, really? Let's say the issue I had, you go Cooper DeJean in the first round. It seems like in the second round that you have to take an offensive lineman. Do you see any type of scenario here? I think Josh did it in his draft a lot too, and Purcell, where he took a edge rusher and then the wide receiver. Do you see any scenario where the Dolphins flat out avoid the offensive line when we've heard people like the Daniel Jeremiah's for months say like, hey, this is one of the deepest drafts in some time. Like, is there any scenario where the Miami Dolphins flat out ignore it?
They might have to, because when you look at how the board is, you know, it's quite possible that you see, you know, Joe All off the board, Fashanu, Fatanu, Talise Fuaga, Adarius Mims, all off the board in the first 20 picks, and maybe Jackson Powers Johnson too. And then you get down to pick 55 and you miss the run in the second round because you miss out on a Zach Frazier and a Jordan Morgan and a Patrick Paul from Houston. And now it's like, okay, are we going to take a project in the second round? And if we do, then do you really want to do that on a win now type of team? So that's why I think if, if you see an Amarius Mims fall to pick 21, why he's so high on my board and why I'm also interested in going back up and getting a Jordan Morgan or a Zach Frazier in the second round too.
Josh, I was just asking Kat about our mock draft specifically, where we didn't have an offensive lineman in the first two rounds. As you've kind of gotten to stew on that a little bit and you've gotten some praise over your mock draft, do you feel like that's a way the Dolphins can go? Or are you still sitting there like, man, I wish I took an offensive lineman here because it just felt weird?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with I think I took like what Zach Zinter in like the fifth round or whatever it was. I mean, that was a fine pick. But I again, the brain and even the heart are telling me the Dolphins need to fix that offensive line. You just got to wonder how comfortable the Dolphins are with it. Right. I mean, we've seen them go out there with, I mean, arguably worse offensive lines than what we're going to see. Right. And we've heard Chris Greer say that we might be more worried about it than they are. So I hope to God they end up getting one. I hope that they find a way, whether it be in the first round or like you both have mentioned, trading up in the second or the guy falls right into your lap. But I definitely think you need to bring in a piece on that offensive line. But we'll see. We'll see what they do.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Just going through your list here, and I just can't help but wonder, like, we got to be on Dan Feeney watch and make sure that the Dolphins get something good for that six-round pick just because of the struggles they had at center throughout the season. Sorry, Kat, just to go through your list here, number 22, you do have Patrick Paul. He's someone who's actually been starting to climb up boards a lot lately, followed by Johnny Newton, Jonah Ellis, TJ Tampa, Troy Franklin, Jaden Hicks, Ricky Purcell, Ladd McConkey, and Roman Wilson. You have four receivers there at the end with Franklin, Purcell, McConkey, and Wilson. Would you mind ranking those for me? Which you'd see best fit the Dolphins at pick 55?
Yeah, very little separating those guys, because to be a receiver with Tua, you have to be able to get open and you have to be a good route runner and you have to be able to be at a certain spot at a certain point. Mm-hmm. And that's why I left certain players off the list. Like, you know, Troy Franklin, I think, is a great route runner, had almost 1,400 yards at Oregon last year. Smooth guy. He's skinny, but I think he plays bigger, catches the ball away from his body. And I think he can step into that Cedric Wilson type of role quickly and bring another element to the offense. Ricky Purcell, Ladd McConkey, and Roman Wilson, I had a tough time separating those guys because, same thing, good route runners. And I could see them stepping in and really being good third options on the team. I mean, Pearsall reminds me a lot of Adam Thielen. I think he's that type of inside outside player. Ladd McConkey, I don't see how Wes Welker could not love this guy because he's such a picture perfect route runner. Roman Wilson gives me vibes of Golden Tate. So, you know, you're talking about guys who are really solidly in the second round. And I expect, you know, if you're talking about, I mean, Roman Wilson might be the 12th or 13th receiver selected in the draft. And from that point, you got to think one of those guys is going to fall down to 55. But Jaden Hicks is the interesting one because, you know, we haven't talked about safeties a lot, and for good reason, because it's not a draft. To me, is the only chance for the defensively to get a Kyle Hamilton type of player on their defense. He's an interesting guy. You know, somebody who's 6'2", 215 pounds, big, tall, long. If you want to see the best of this guy, watch him play against Washington, you know, who, you know, lost to Michigan in the national championship. I mean, this is a guy, he all over the field. He went up and he went sky high and took the ball away from Jalen Polk on an interception. He can play in the slot. He can play deep, and he is turbocharged when he's running forward toward the line of scrimmage. I think this is a guy people aren't talking enough about because this whole safety class is really, but if he's available at 55 and he's the pick, I'm not saying he'd be my number one guy, but he'd be fascinating to, you know, for the Dolphins to take and give them that three safety look.
I add him to my list, my homework assignment. I got Hicks versus Washington. I made sure I wrote that down. So you go back to receivers. I mean, that's kind of why you don't want to, I don't want to say if the right guy falls to you in round one, maybe you take him, but it sounds like the Dolphins for what they need, you know, those four guys seem like, you know, that's a pretty nice thing that is staring you in the face at 55 overall. The thing or the player I wanted to ask you your thoughts on, because when I was watching, I really got excited about watching Johnny Newton. I don't know that I came into this season thinking the Dolphins were going to go defensive tackle, try to replace Christian Wilkins. But when I saw him play, I mean, this guy, he impressed me. So give me your thoughts on Johnny Newton, why you have him ranked here. And do you think he's going to fall this late? Cause I do know some people have him, you know, potentially not even being there at 21, I guess, but we're all over the place. I mean, no one truly knows.
I've got Johnny Newton on this list of my 30 at 23. That's lower than a lot of people. I've always liked Newton, but I've liked him as a second round pick because look, he is a high effort guy. He's short and he's very good against single team against, you know, going one-on-one against a guard or a center, but I've seen him mauled too many times for me to consider him a first round pick. If he's there at pick 55, he's somebody that'll be very high on my list. But, you know, I can't go in a first round that has this much talent. I can't go with somebody that I don't think can consistently beat double teams.
Kat, we can't thank you enough. The last few months, the amount of draft content you've given us has been absolutely outstanding. I hope everybody at home listening has learned a thing or two about a thing or two, because I especially know I have. Before we wrap up here, I'd love to ask, let me hear one or two bold predictions for this weekend's draft about maybe as the week goes on. I mean, I'll even start with one. I still think it's going to be under 4.5 quarterbacks. I think this is the time of the year where the time of the draft season where quarterbacks are all the clickbait raves, so they're going to get the most hype. So I'm hoping or feeling or thinking that 4.5 under is going to hit. There's some bias there, but Kat, what say you?
I'm going to say 6 quarterbacks go in the top 13.
Wow.
And in addition to that, I think 3 edge players go in the top 13 and 3 wide receivers. So, because wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr., Adunzie, Malik Nabers, that's not a bold prediction. Mm-hmm. At the edge, I think Latu goes 8 to the Falcons because his college coach is with the Falcons now. Mm-hmm. How could you not want him after seeing what he did at Washington? Jared Verse, I think, is a perfect pick for the Bears at 9. I think Dallas Turner goes somewhere in the top 13. Like you look at these teams here, like if you're the Vikings and you have Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson on your team, mm-hmm. Either you trade up or you at pick 11, I think you have to go with Bo Nix or Michael Penix. Ugh. And I don't agree with either of them in the first round period, but what else do you do? You've got to sell merchandise. You've got to get people excited. Like you're going to go in with, with Jared Stidham or Zach Wilson. I mean, going in with Aiden O'Connell or God, who else did they get? I'm drawing a blank on that. I just don't think you can do that. So therefore, I believe that you're going to see a lot of these offensive linemen fall down to the Dolphins. And it wouldn't surprise me if Talese Fuaga is there at number 21 for them. And that would be a major steal at that pick.
I can just imagine the stank Sam Darnold face on all the programs throughout the year. That's such a good point and such an important point that at the end of the day, the owners of these teams, money's pretty important. Josh, you got any saucy predictions here or any spice to add to our lives?
Yeah, I was going to throw the Latu top 10 out there, but he beat me to it. And I was going to rain on your parade with the six quarterbacks again. But for me, I'm going to go crazy here, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's no way it's going to happen. But I'm going to say Brock Bowers falls in the Dolphins trade up for him. It's not going to happen, but there's some bold prediction. And we can clip it then when it does happen and look like geniuses, but it's not happening.
The way it does happen, though, if he falls past the Jets at 10, and I mean, Chris Greer will be aggressive at his right price, right? He was aggressive getting Jalen Ramsey for Hunter Long in a third-round pick. If Brock Bowers, that unicorn, does fall to 15, I could see Greer calling and offering a couple third-round picks to say, what can you do for us? You know, I'm kind of open to that. But, Kat, before we wrap up here, I just want to say it again. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Be sure to follow him on Twitter, at BrianKatNFL. I'm at JMendel94. At Houts, thank you all so much for listening to another Dolphins podcast. We will be back soon to talk more NFL draft, but until then,
fins up. Fins up.